now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Beyond redemption, no hope forever. America is a land of big projects, and where we have a restless, moving generation that's always looking for some big paying job on some new development. And they move from one part of the nation to the other to get that big money. A bomb plant erection will bring people from their quiet country homes to live in trailers, shacks, or tents to get that big money. I suppose in other lands it would be the same if big paying projects were to develop. Fathers and mothers, too, seem so bent on big money. These days they break up the home nest. Put the children with the grandparents or some old aunt while they go after the alluring money. And when their children needed home life, parents, correction, and family love, right then, in those crucial formation years, the parents left, being so blinded by the deceitfulness of riches, they didn't see the bitter harvest of such foolish sowing. The lust for money so gripped them, they failed to count the cost of it in terms of the lives and the souls of their children. Many of you remember how you left home to get that big money, and you returned with so little of it, while you faced a wrecked home and a scar on your family that cannot be erased, and when you look at that ugly scar, it takes the form of a dollar mark. But did God anticipate such living and tell us about it in the Bible? He did. In Leviticus 25 we read, I quote, if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold. Within a full year he may redeem it. And if it be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever. To him that bought it throughout his generations, it shall not go out in the jubilee. In these laws, God gave to Moses the great principles of righteous law for all time and places. But beyond their legal perfection, we would see their application to our lives, both here and hereafter. With this in mind, we will think of a man. We'll call him Mr. Gad, naming him after a tribe in Israel. In his home nest were our three children of early age. The parents are enjoying their youngsters and family love of the parent. Then comes the news from afar of big money. Those parents want it. But there was their house. It was a real home to all of them. Its walls helped keep the family together. But they decided to sell it, make the big money, and return and buy it back. But what about their children? They would put some at one grandparent's and the rest at the other. They would break the family into three segments, but the lust for that easy money made them scarcely consider any difficulty, so they offered their home for sale. It was in a walled city, protected by that wall from the invasion of wild animals and wild men. In that walled city, there was the true worship of the Lord God. His word was read, and prayer was the daily habit. So their house sold readily, the title signed over, and they carefully put the money away to buy back their home later on, so they thought. The goodbyes to the children and loved ones are a bit painful, but soon forgotten in their exploits. They bunk up in a little tent, but in the land of big money, everything costs so much. They find that 10 take away 8 leaves the same 2, that 4 take away 2 leaves. Irregular and unprepared meals bring on sickness, and doctor bills make them tap the money they got from selling their home. But still, handling big money, they hope things will be better. When a holiday comes, they return home on a visit to see the home nest awakens longings for the good old days. And the children, grandparents weren't made to raise children. No control, no discipline. The change is terrible. With heavy hearts, Mr. Gad and his wife return after their big money. An unbearable burden comes over each of them, and they confess to each other the big mistake they made. Then Mrs. Gad says, "Husband, I can't bear this any longer. We must do something about it. Let's go home and get our house back and gather our children like it used to be. Mr. Gadd says, I've been feeling that same way all day, but we've spent some of that money and we'll have to pay it all back. Mrs. Gadd continues, this has been the hardest year in my life. I wish I could erase it from our history. Her husband says, year? Has it been that long? She assures him, yes, it has been just 1 year and one day since we sold our home. With trembling hand, Mr. Gadd reaches for the Mosaic Law and reads, and if it be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that bought it. Those plain words leave them speechless. They're frantic. What can they do? At once they quit their jobs, gather up their few belongings, and take the quickest way home. Arriving, Mr. Gadd goes straight to Joshua. He tells his distress to Israel's great captain. Joshua is moved with sympathy. He reaches for the scroll of the law and reads it to Mr. Gadd. Then he speaks, Mr. Gadd, that is God's word. That is final. Neither Moses, nor I, nor any who follow after us can change God's word. Now, if your house were in the country and not in that walled city, then you would have hope in the year of Jubilee, as this next statement reads. But for you, there is no hope forever, and nothing can be done about it. Mr. Gadd bears home the awful verdict as those words ring in his ears, no hope forever. Now, neighbor, all this has a message for you. You may not own a house or have a family, but you do have a soul, a precious soul. It is your own soul, and you, like Mr. Gadd, have been allured by big money or similar things. It matters little what it is. Some are moved by the thrills of the world, others by the passions of sin, and others have as their goal the glamour of fame and prestige. To all the Lord Jesus says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Like Mr. Gadd, you have already tasted the emptiness of this world's money and all else it has to offer. You have emptied its springs and are still thirsty, unsatisfied. I invite you to drink of the heavenly spring, the living water, which is that new life in Christ Jesus the Lord. You need not hesitate, for the word of God says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. When Mr. Gadd considered returning, he faced the price of it, and neighbor, you must repent. You went out so big and boastful, but you must return on your knees in shame and repentance. You know that, but your pride holds you back. Tear loose from old pride and cry, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and do it now. Mr. Gadd discovered he had let the time slip up on him. The last day, the last hour had already passed. There was no blowing of a whistle or heavenly thunder, but quietly his last chance slipped away from him, and his house was forever beyond redemption. Neighbor, hear me good. The same God who made that law and set a time limit has set his time limit on the redemption of your soul. God has drawn a line. It is a deadline for your soul. God has appointed your space of repentance, and the quiet tick of the clock will be the only signal, and you will have passed beyond the bounds of God's mercy to your soul forever. Now the Lord insisted that the man be given the full year, every minute of it, and so God guarantees to you now the right to choose. You can and you may repent. You can and you may believe. You can and you may call on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation. But just one tick of the clock will be your deadline, and you will be beyond redemption. You may say, I'm feeling fine. But they feel fine just before the car crashes and they awake in eternity. You think you're okay, but deadly torture's cancer may even now grip you. You may say, my heart is strong, but its last beat may be just around the corner. For God, the living God, holds in his hand the breath, the life of every man. Perhaps you noticed that God's word made the house in the walled city beyond redemption forever when that full year passed, but the house in the country was different. It could be redeemed later, and it would be restored in the year of Jubilee. What does this mean? The city house had privileges the country did not afford. And so today there are people who live in Bible lands where the gospel is preached, while millions of others live in lands of heathen darkness without the message of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, without a noticeable warning, all the people in enlightened lands of gospel privilege will be beyond redemption forever. For when Jesus comes, that door of salvation will close to all such forever, as the Bible says, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. But after that, in the next dispensation, a vast multitude from heathendom will be redeemed to the Lord, yet not one who previously had gospel light. And that means you, neighbor. When Jesus comes again, your doom will be sealed as tightly as you are, as were you already in hellfire. Beyond redemption will be the unalterable decree of the living God, and nothing can be done about it forever. You will wail in terror, but your cry will be too late. You will beat your breast as a fool. But like old Esau, you will find no place of repentance. Like the men in Noah's day, you will knock at salvation's door, but the door was shut, not by man, but by God. Millions will be outside that shut door beyond redemption. Why? They waited too long. You will remember your Christian relatives, the family altar, the Sunday school, those gospel sermons you heard. What a privileged walled city you dwelt in. But now there is only the blackness of darkness forever, for you are beyond redemption. That is why the Lord Jesus said, strive to enter at the straight gate. Let nothing stop you. Chunk your pride and call on the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, my time is running out. Please save me before I shall be beyond redemption forever. Oh, sinner, hear that clock. Its next hour may end the day of God's grace to your soul, and you shall be beyond redemption. The door of salvation is still open. Flee across its threshold, crying, Lord Jesus, save me. I now come to thee. Neighbor, do it now. I beseech you. Neighbor, you are still here on earth enjoying the daily mercies of God and living in the day of God's grace and salvation. But consider this. Right now, millions on millions of men, women, and youths who once were here where you are, they are now in hellfire, where there's no mercy and no hope forever. They are beyond redemption eternally. And soon, how soon only God knows, you will be where they are and be as they are, beyond redemption forever, unless you take action and get right with God. That is why I try so earnestly to make plain and simple to you just how you can get right with God. And that is why I beseech you to take that first step, to make that move now. What could be more important to your eternal being? What is so worthy of your immediate attention? You know this, so act accordingly. The prodigal son in the hog pen decided, I will arise and go to my father. He got into action, and even in his pitiful weakness, yet he did not stop until he was in the embrace of his father. Make that decision right now, saying, I will repent of my many sins, and I will call on the Lord Jesus to save me. I will not stop, if it takes all day and all night, until I know that God has made me his child, and Jesus Christ has received me as his own forever. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.